you. It's the first day of APHA. You're excited. You're in sessions. It's amazing. In addition to the other stuff, I'm the program chair for the health administration section. So I want to thank you all for coming and continually support health administration sections for the rest of the workshop. So, all right. I'm going to read some stuff to you. I do not see any barriers to minority advancement for the right qualified persons. It is a lack of desire or cognitive ability. And that is from a white participant. Like many in my generation, I was raised with minority tendencies. Stay below the radar, work hard, do not promote yourself. That's an African American participant. Current leadership roles are occupied by mostly white men and women. This may not cause minorities to think they do not belong in those roles or that they are being withheld from promotions. That's a white participant. Served on various committees on a voluntary basis and assisted in work products, but the administration doesn't take that into account, and that is a minority participant. These are all things from a study that I did to complete my research for my doctoral program. I have no disclosures to report. I completed this program at A.T. Still University. I have a doctorate, and I did it because this just happened. It's very fresh. Thank you. Thank you. So those are eggs. So yay. But this is a visual representation of what's happening in the United States of America. CDC, the Bureau, reports that by 2042, 54% of the population will be minorities. So we'll have a minority majority. Things are changing. These are five states that you see there. These are minority majority states right now as of today. In addition to these five states, there are 48 large cities, or 48 of America's 100 largest cities are minority majority as well. Things are changing. My state's up there, California. I'm very proud of that. So in addition, CDC also reports that in order to kind of move forward and work towards a healthy nation, which all of us are doing, it's pretty much impossible to do that without addressing minority health issues. One way to do that is with looking at diversity leadership or having a diverse leadership. And that is one way to kind of reduce health disparities. So Chin implemented this term, a researcher, called diversity leadership. To you guys, it's like, okay, diversity leadership, that makes sense. But it's really a way to be inclusive of all groups, to start to really shift and change how we provide public health and how we provide health care. So, two numbers. One number is for the amount of women leaders we have in the health world, and one number is for the amount of minority leaders we have in the health world. Which one do you think is the minority number? It's interactive. Just yell it out. 12% or 6? Wow, that's good. 12 or 6. You guys are good. So that's pretty impressive. So 12% is for women. 6% is for minorities. So you have 6% of minorities who are CEOs of hospitals or health systems. Interesting, right? Because if we go back to the egg slide, minorities are taking over, and yet when we look at our health systems, it's not really necessarily reflective of that. So the purpose of my study was to assess the perceived or real barriers that minority healthcare professionals face when obtaining leadership positions in health administration. So looking at minorities currently employed. It was a descriptive study, it was cross-sectional, I did electronic survey, and convenience sampling and consecutive sampling, snowball sampling, stuff that no one cares about, but I did use those things. The study participants were from lots of different professional networks, including APHA, minority networks as well, personal networks that I've accumulated over time, and the survey was open for 3 days, it was via SurveyMonkey, and people had to be in a mid-level position or higher. And the reason why the inclusion criteria considered mid-level or higher is I wanted to see for those who are in position to promote opposed to people who are newer in the field. And this was approved by the Institutional Review Board. Very fun process, by the way. So the 24 item instrument survey, it was pilot tested before it went out to kind of get some feedback and tweak it, and it included Likert skills, multiple choice, yes, no, and most importantly, open-ended questions. That's where I was able to receive those comments that I shared with you in the beginning. So this is a sample of one of the questions. So it was very kind of involved in a way to really get different viewpoints. You can see I've highlighted mentors, the diversity of the organization, and opportunity for growth and promotion. So analysis was done by SPSS, and qualitative data was done through Excel, and we had univariate analysis as well. So we had 64 responses. 50% came from California, because I live there. We'll talk about that towards the end. The response rate, interestingly enough, was 53% Caucasian. So in my study design, and for those of you who've gone through any kind of study design, my advisor wanted to make sure that white people, Caucasian people, were included in the study. I originally wanted to design it to just have a minority-only response because this was my fear, and that is because only 16% of African Americans responded, 11% for Hispanic, 11% for mixed or other, 3% Asian, and then the age range was from 24 to 67. So what happened with my study design is that now everything that I thought I was going to do now came from a white perspective opposed to a minority perspective. Still get good stuff, just wasn't the plan. So if anyone wants to go to school and get a PhD, just know that things can change, but you can still get some good stuff. Fun fact. So the minimum amount of people had 2 years of experience, and the largest amount was 45. And you can see that is a lot and a lot and a lot, a lot of experience. 59% of the people had a master's degree, and 48% of the people at the time of the survey had not been promoted in their current organization. As far as the levels, 35% were mid-level, 11 were senior level, 11 were missing or questioning their role, possibly, and then 7 were at the executive or the C-suite level, so meaning chief or CEO of something. With the types of organizations with the feedback, 19 were from health or public health departments, 18 were from hospitals, 10 from nonprofits, 10 from universities, 8 from health systems, 7 clinics, 4 others, and 2 kind of health insurance or health entity organizations. 45% of the participants were pleased with the diversity of their staff-to-patient-client ratio. 18% of professional development programs were very limited within their organizations. 48% of the organizations had formalized relationships with colleges or mentor students in one way or another. Yet 50% of the staff were dissatisfied with their lack of mentors, coaches, and their current work environment. So kind of an interesting contrast, as you can see that organizations were doing a great job of working externally with students to bring them in, but not so much with their internal candidates. As far as looking at executive leadership, 42% of the participants agreed that executives were not trained to work with diverse populations. 53% of professionals saw no increase in their minority leaders within 3 years of their time at the organization. And then 97% of all professionals felt they had the skills to be a leader. When it came down to looking at open-ended questions around management, I was able to come up with 6 different themes from looking at these open-ended questions. The highest one was not having advancement tracks for minorities. So that meant like not having succession planning, not being a priority to promote minorities. Second to that, there were no racial or ethnic barriers, or things were more of a gender issue. So again, if we go back to looking at my response rate, 53% of the participants were not minorities. So there's a different viewpoint where non-minorities are saying like, there's no problem, it's fine, right? Then there was a kind of a tie with the 4th area, and that was lack of education or advanced degrees or experience for minorities, and then lack of cultural understanding in the workforce. So, again, there are 6 categories that I just shared with you, but some of the feedback from there was minorities do not have a voice that is heard or considered. Organizations are not hiring minorities reflective of the community. Minorities had self-imposed barriers, so that means that minorities are are preventing themselves from moving into leadership positions, and that there is a common mid-level glass ceiling for minority health professionals. Overall, across the board, whether white, Hispanic, what have you, everyone felt that, again, since 97% of the people had leadership skills, they were volunteering on boards and committees and doing lots of things and going above and beyond to be noticed. Also, some people may attend the APHA conference as well for a little bit of leadership opportunity. And then the majority of the participants felt they had yet to reach their desired level of leadership in their careers. When I was looking at other research, one thing that came up was that regardless of race, without access to mentoring, development, training, and other activities in the managerial pipeline, qualified people are stopped short before they fulfill the promise of their abilities. So other research that's out there that's looking at what's happening as far as leadership in public health, they're seeing that we're not providing the tools that's needed to promote people up and then also to have that minority focus. Another researcher, Rich, found that when it came to mentoring, an overall lack of minority leader role models were present, leading to a limited pool of diverse candidates for leadership positions and the need to strengthen relationships with graduate schools, fellowships, and residencies. So most public health people, we've had a mentor one time or another, or we have more than one or a lot, what have you. But if people aren't seeing someone in a position of power that's reflective of them, then they're not getting the same mentorship experience that maybe a white counterpart would have. So minorities share they have to try harder, they're overlooked, and again, Wilson said minorities must work twice as hard to get the same level as those in a majority group, as high intellectual ability and advanced educational levels are not a guarantee to career advancement. Again, we had a majority Caucasian response rate, so again, those attitudes are coming from a non-minority perspective. And another researcher found that one misperception of public health is that there are not enough academically qualified people of color available. But in contrast, there are talented individuals who have yet to be exposed to the field. And one of the questions that I had, briefly share your views on regarding barriers to perceived or real barriers in minority advancement to upper management positions. Responses were from the minority participants. Minorities do not have a voice. And Caucasians, it's through who they know. So white people are working through who they know, and minorities are not heard. Caucasian participants answering the same question said, again, self-imposed barriers, there are no barriers. So there are no problems. So interesting perspective. Food for thought. Although there's a non-minority voice, Caucasian leaders may feel that talented minorities do not apply themselves to achieving their leadership potential. We know this is not true because there's awesome people all around, but the perception is very interesting. In contrast, minorities feel that they do that they need to do more than what is required in order to advance their careers. The limitations of the study, again, we had a higher white response rate. There was a small sample size. And half the participants were located in California, which is a minority-majority state, so that could be an interesting viewpoint as well. And then another limitation is that I'm a woman of color, so I may have an unconscious bias. Let's skip this slide. So as far as further research, it's probably important if more research were to happen that we would have a minority-only study to see what the contesting variables would be, and then to really see how culture impacts leadership and how other research can kind of support that. So again, limited advancement tracks were found. Non-minorities felt there are no barriers for minorities to advance, and then the lack of cultural understanding. So again, there's unconscious bias in the workplace where there's lots of different varying perspectives of who should be where and what should happen. So more work needs to be done to helping people kind of understand one another to have more successful growth in the organization. That's it, so I encourage you to do what you can in your organization. Thank you.